Hi there, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Prophet of Mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And I was talking to two friends of mine earlier today about acts of kindness, and this kind of interesting thing took place. Because very often, as you know, couples, when they get estranged, they stop being kind with each other. What is kindness, he asked me. And I said, kindness is kind of a tool given to us by the gods to help us cross boundaries with each other. You know, a kindness between two humans, whether they're two friends, whether they're two lovers, parent and child, or two strangers, any of that is something that becomes this way of getting through the boundaries of the skin-encapsulated ego called you and the skin-encapsulated ego called me. So this whole idea of what it's like to extend yourself to another person in a kind way is very important to me. Now, of course, we could do lecture. Everybody would lecture on it's good to be kind. It's good one way or another. But at the same time, I ran across an author who talked about interactions with what they call consequential strangers. Now, this was fascinating because I went through this and I decided today to bring with me on the air one of the co-authors of the book, Melinda Blau. Melinda, I'm sure you're with us.
I am.
Good. Thank you so much for rushing back to get here for the phone call so that we could do this.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Sure. So, Melinda, if you would, you heard my introduction about the acts of kindness between people. Let's introduce your work.
Well, first of all, I have to say I love your definition of kindness, that it helps us cross boundaries. And really, that's the essence of this book. A consequential stranger is anyone who's outside of your family and close friends. And if you could say there are acquaintances. And if you think about your life, really everybody's day is peopled with consequential strangers, not with loved ones, because we go off to work during our commute, during our shopping, at the office, playing golf. These are places where we see consequential strangers.
Okay, let's slow it down for just one second in case people just tuned in. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're with an author, Melinda Blau, who has co-written a book called Consequential Strangers. Now, let's just get the word consequential for a second. And why do you call them consequential strangers? Is it because...
Well, actually, the research shows that, and this is a very, very surprising and almost counterintuitive thought, that these people are as important to us as our intimates. Now, everyone knows we need close relations to get through life, but we also need consequential strangers.
So a consequential stranger is someone whom we don't necessarily know, or we don't know well.
We don't know well.
But we can't imagine they have an impact on our life, a consequence.
Right.
Is that where consequential stranger
That's
comes
right.
from?
That's
that
right.
These people, unbeknownst to us or unbeknownst to our consciousness, mm-hmm. have consequence.
Right.
Good.
And they have consequences in many ways. You know, our intimates know what we know, and they often think the way we think. But consequential strangers are different. So they're more likely to give you, for example, a job lead. I mean, consequential strangers are extremely important in difficult times. They're the people who can come in and help you when your loved ones burn out, if you have a crisis or an illness. And
now, wait a minute. How would a stranger do that?
They're not strangers. These are people that we know. This might be Sally from the office who drops by with a casserole from Costco. It might be someone who you hire. That person is in your life. You might not invite that person to Thanksgiving dinner.
So if you have an apartment in Manhattan, it might be somebody who's a doorman, or it might be somebody who's a grocery man.
Or they are not strangers.
Grocery person.
These are people we know something about. And interestingly...
Is it like a nodding acquaintance?
It ranges. It ranges from a nodding acquaintance to someone that's just on the boundary of friend. You know, we have a lot of people in our lives you know, you often call them friends. You might say, my friend from church. But the fact is that you really just see that person on Sunday, and it's always wonderful when you run into each other. You know a little bit about their children, their grandchildren. You might know what they do. You might know only one thing, that the person just got divorced or that he does business in China. That person is part of what I call in the book your social convoy, that collection of people that travel with you through life. And whereas our intimates make the journey, the entire journey with us, our consequential strangers sometimes take an off-ramp, and they're there just for a specific period of time. Say when you worked for XYZ Corporation, you knew a group of people in the office. You weren't very close with them, but you might have gone out to lunch with them. You might even have shared intimacies with them. And these are all your consequential strangers. And, of course, you know, the neighbor next door is not the same as the mailman who you just see once a day for a few minutes. But, or your hairdresser, that's usually a very close.
Well, okay, so if people, if our audience were listening and they wanted to participate, anybody now could pick up a pencil and just name five consequential strangers in your life. And you don't even have to know their name.
Right.
Right? You could say...
Well, you usually do know their name.
Usually do know their name.
Not always, but you usually do know their names because, as I say, they're part of your everyday comings and goings. You might not know your mailman's name, but you might smile at him or her. I shouldn't. But most of the consequential strangers, you do know. They're the people that make up the majority of your social contacts during a day.
Well, this certainly sounds like it's really directed towards more an urban life than a rural life.
Well,
you know, because, I mean, in the cities, we have thousands of consequential strangers, each one of us.
That's absolutely true. But you know what's interesting? I've been doing radio shows throughout the country, and I did a call-in show yesterday in Wisconsin, and a woman called in who lived in a small town, and she talked about all her consequential strangers. So we all have consequential strangers. I mean, I interviewed one woman from the book who lived in a town of 567 people. But she had consequential strangers. Her children's teachers were her consequential strangers, people in the community, people that her husband knew that she didn't necessarily know that well. And the wonderful thing about this, and it gets back to your concept of kindness, the wonderful thing is that we don't have to do anything to get consequential strangers. They're already there. You don't have to be a good networker. You don't have to be an extrovert.
You have to be decent.
You have to be decent.
You have to be decent because if you're indecent, if you're nasty,
that's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, then these people.
That's right. And if you are decent, you get such incredible bounty from this. I know that a young woman whom I had interviewed for the book sent me a message on Facebook, and she said, "You know, this concept is amazing." She said, ever since I read the book, I've been saying hello to more people. I've been making eye contact. I'm really aware of these people that normally I would pass by, the guy in the deli who gives me coffee every day, the person at the newsstand in my building. And as you said, she's in New York, and a lot of New Yorkers know this very well. We all have dozens and dozens of consequential strangers, maybe hundreds. But what she said was suddenly people started giving her free things. The guy gave her an extra portion of soup, a package of gum, and she said, it was just because I reached out and I said a few words, I remembered who he or she was, and it made my day and it made his day. So it's a win-win situation.
I see. Okay, so we have in our lives a number of people that we could pay a little more attention to. Because if we paid attention to it, we would find that there's an energetic exchange that takes place every day. And if it were possible, if we were to reap the benefit of this, we would find that cumulatively, there's a lot of positive energy that passes back and forth. And you could feel lonely as the day is long. But, you know, if you ever really noticed how many people care in some way or recognize or acknowledge you, there's a tremendous advantage.
Absolutely. One of the greatest compliments that that I got on this book was John Cacioppo, who literally wrote a book called Loneliness, He's been researching loans.
Yeah, we had him on air here.
Ah, okay. Well, John gave me a quote. I interviewed him for the book, and then he read the book afterward, and he said it's impossible to feel socially isolated after reading this book. And that's quite a compliment coming from him. But I think that's because the book really opened your eyes. People don't, you know, I'm sure you experience this, most shows about relationships are about close relationships. Your spouse, your children, your mother, your father, occasionally your best friend. But we very rarely hear discussions about these peripheral people, and they're very important to us.
Well, one of the things that I notice, and I know this is not going directly to your book, although we will mention the book. The book is Consequential Strangers, is the name of the book. Melinda Blau. Melinda, you know, one of the things I notice is that if you're in a hurry and if you're an anxious type person, you have fewer quality contacts with consequential strangers than if you're somebody who's more stable. Anxiety, nervousness, fear, they all get in the way. It's almost like the amygdala is your enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this part of your brain that fires, that says, move fast, move fast, move fast.
Right.
That makes you not stop long enough to look at someone
right.
who you work with, to listen to them, you know? I like the word conspire, but the word conspire really means to breathe together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take a moment to conspire? Do you take a moment to share with somebody else? And what difference that makes. I have a very good friend of mine who travels in from Connecticut every week, every day. And she travels in from Connecticut, and she always, on the train, has these remarkable stories about people who she knows from the train and right. has relationships with on the train.
Those are her consequential strangers. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. And, you know, I've had people that write to me or say to me on Facebook, you know, I never knew what to call the guy that I met every year at a convention. I just love seeing him. I never knew what to call him. You know, he's not really a friend, but he's very important to me, and I always get very good information from him. Plus, the fact it just makes me happy when I see him. Or I never knew what to call my mechanic, who I really adore. I get, you know, this is a person that goes the distance for me and has always been there for me when I need him. And these are very, very important people, but we don't have a name for them. And my co-author, Karen Fingerman, coined the term. She's a researcher at Purdue University. And together we kind of plumbed the sociological and psychological and marketing research. And we found that there's a lot of studies back up the fact that these so-called weak ties connect us to information. There's even epidemiological studies that suggest that if you have both close relations and consequential strangers in your life, you're likely to live 9 years longer.
Yeah, no. Well, okay. So what? But that would therefore kind of say that you have a positive attitude in life.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have a positive attitude, it's hard to have consequential strangers. Now, I know people who have, like, if you're living in a nursing home and you live on complaints, mm-hmm. you know, and you just have somebody you complain to and complains
right.
back, that's not necessarily a positive energy, but it's also a consequential stranger.
That's right.
What is social convoy?
Well, the social convoy is what I was alluding to before, that we go through life, and if you imagine yourself in a car traveling down the road of life, around you are other cars. The ones closest to you are your intimates, and the ones in the outside lanes are your consequential strangers. And whereas your intimates might make the whole journey with you, your consequential strangers are there for a particular period of your life, because usually a consequential stranger is associated with an activity, such as going to the gym, a place such as the office or the golf course, or an interest. For example, if you're part of an organization that wants to save the whales, you may be very different from all the people in the rest of that organization, but you have one thing in common, and that's you want to save the whales. But that association with all those other people really enriches you and helps you gain a broader perspective.
There are some people... Well, first I want to tell one story about an elder man I know who was not feeling well, and he was sick, and he was thinking that he better put his things in order. So he decided to write a will. And the man was lucky enough to have $1 million in his life. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, I'm going to give $700,000 to make sure my wife and kids get that amount of money, and I've got this money left over. And then he was telling me the story of how he started thinking about small people, mm-hmm. people who were just in his life that he would like to give a benefit to. And he happened to live in a building with a bunch of doormen. And one of the doormen had this accident, and he couldn't get by because the accident he lost in court. And so he has to work, even though he's handicapped when he works. And he said, oh, I'd love to leave that guy $20,000 when I go. And then he thought about all the other people. And it's really like a beautiful thought. If we all had a will, mm-hmm. and we had a limited amount to give, but it was a little bit of extra that we could give to people who have been significant in our life.
Right, who are part of our social convoy.
Who's part of our social convoy. Mm-hmm. Who would we like to share that to? It's a really interesting concept.
Thank you.
Let's talk about place. Okay. Let's talk about the importance of place.
Well, you know, a lot of people are surprised that I included a chapter, on place. But, you know, place and relationships are very intertwined, because if you're not in a safe place, you don't want to talk to somebody, because, you know, picture yourself walking through a blighted section of the city. You probably have your eyes down or straight ahead, and you don't bother to look at the people that might pass by. But if you're in a welcoming park or a cafe, it's very safe to talk to somebody and to start a conversation. And let's face it, what happens is we go from, and I talk about this in the book, the relationship development goes from stranger to consequential stranger to friend and possibly to spouse or soulmate. And I talk about place in the book as there are certain kinds of places that we call being spaces, and those are welcoming, warm places where you're more likely to turn a stranger into a consequential stranger. It could be, I write about a softball game that occurred every week in a particular community, and how the people started gravitating. You could see the relationships develop right before your eyes. Each week they'd sit a little bit closer. They would share more intimately with one another. But, you know, a restaurant can be a being space as long as it's welcoming. I know that there are some restaurants in New York now that have community tables where you go in and you sit with strangers. That's very possible that if you go there with the intention of making connections, you'll start a conversation.
And also you talk about the difference that it makes in you. I got a quote. You said, the context affects how we act and think, our roles and the rules of engagement. Compare the you who walks through a rundown neighborhood with the self who enters a public park in anticipation of a free concert. You know, it's like there's a different us almost everywhere.
Right, right. And I also talk about those different us's in another chapter where I talk about the fact that we all have multiple selves. And I don't mean this in a pathological way, because each context and each new person or group of people that we're with brings out a different side of us. We don't act the same in church as we do out on the baseball field or in a tavern. We act differently at home than we do in the office. And that's a very good thing, because it allows us, and it's usually with our consequential strangers, that we allow ourselves to kind of stretch and try on new personas. You know, very often our intimates, as much as they love us, have us in a certain place.
And you just get to this one place.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, we can finish their sentences and they can finish our sentences. But you have to work harder with a consequential stranger. You can't take anything for granted. And that also sharpens our mind.
Well, you talk about a positive picture of this consequential stranger. What's the downside?
Well, there is a downside. I mean, and it's in a lot of ways, it's very logical. A person who knows who doesn't know us as well is more apt, and this is, I'm telling you this from based on studies, is more apt to lie to you. Sometimes it's a harmless lie in the name of good self-presentation. You know, they might tell them tell you something just so you think a little bit better of them, but it might not exactly be the truth. But we're also more likely to be gossiped about. People make judgments about you based on perhaps first impressions or even the type of person you are. So there is a downside.
There's also, you know, sometimes you open the door to somebody who may seem like they're okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And friendly. And then you open the door with your smile, and it's very possible that person invades your life.
Exactly.
Now, that happens. Yeah. And but you see, I found that we all know ways of dealing with that.
Absolutely.
When somebody comes over, it's like the guy who washes your windshield when you're mm-hmm. parked your car. You know, you have your way of dealing with it,
right,
if you don't want it to happen. But I don't think living in fear of the invasion.
No.
Although I do know a number of women who have said to me, attractive women who have said, you know, if I smile at somebody, they see it as an invitation.
Right.
And she says, is no matter what the number of people, and she, of course, was talking about men, she was saying, you know, if I smile at a storekeeper, he thinks I might be prey.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that affect it? I mean, if you're a very attractive young woman, do you have to be very careful with your consequential strangers?
I don't think that you do. I think that you have to, you know, attractive women, and I'm an attractive older woman. I think that, you know, we have to be careful, of course, and we have to use our common sense. But again, it comes down to the context. If you're in a store, it's a safe place. And even if the man behind the counter thinks you're flirting with him just because you're being nice, you know, it's common sense. You say, you know, I'm just being nice. You tell them. I don't think that that's a concern. I think that if you go into a bad neighborhood, or if you're in a questionable, put yourself in a questionable situation, for example, in a bar, you know, again, you use your common sense. But
one of the problems,
those are strangers, by the way.
Yeah, one of the problems with having extraordinary attractiveness, and I'm talking about people who are extraordinarily attractive, mm-hmm. is that after a while you get so used to that look having an effect on people mm-hmm. that it's hard for you to recognize the difference between benign and harmful characters. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it really gets difficult because everybody's just attracted to you. You know, and so they're all responding to your body. Now, your body or your mind, whatever they see, or power, if you have power.
Well, exactly. I'm sure that powerful men and celebrities have the same problem. Do they really like me, or do they just want to, you know, be part of, you know, under my umbrella, so to speak? So, I think it takes some common sense, but I think that the overall message of opening yourself to the broader social landscape is a very important one. And I think it's you know, many people who read this book say that it changes the way they walk in the world.
The name of the book is A Consequential Strangers. My guest is Melinda Blau, who with Karen L. Fingerman, Dr. Fingerman, co-authored this book. Now, we're going to take your telephone calls about this very issue. Your consequential strangers in your life at 212-209-2900. Not immediately. I do want to continue on with Melinda Blau for a couple of minutes, and then we'll take a break. Is there any ways that people, you talk about a social IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you tell you what you, we've got about 5 minutes. I want to know steps that someone could take to raise their social IQ.
Okay. Well, first of all, part of it is just this awareness that I've been talking about. To first of all start thinking about the people that you know in your life. And one of the things that I often say to people is, think of the last person who recommended a good restaurant or told you about a particularly wonderful doctor or who fixed your computer. Most of the time, the answer is going to be some kind of consequential stranger, because we get recommendations, novelty, help often comes from consequential strangers. So the first step is really just to open your eyes. Second, I would suggest that you, when you go into a restaurant, for example, and the waitress has a name tag on, use the name tag. Say, hi, Sally. And maybe have a little bit of conversation just to, and this is something that even a shy person can do. you know, what do you think is good today? Or isn't it a terrible day out today? Whatever, you know, small talk. Not to reveal great parts of yourself, but really just to make contact and to use that social muscle to realize that you can connect with people and how good it feels. That's the thing. It's a very self-reinforcing action to smile at somebody, because usually they end up being much nicer to you. They usually end up giving you more than you ask for. And I'm not saying to do it with that in mind, but that's what happens. The other thing that's very important is to add to your social convoy if you're in a crisis. So, for example, perhaps something has happened with your child. Your child was just diagnosed with learning disabilities, or your spouse is ill, or you have an illness. All of these crises require you to get extra help, whether it's in the form of professionals or just to ask people in your social convoy. You know, my son was just diagnosed with ADD. I'm in a tizzy. I don't know what to do. And you would be surprised at how many people say, oh, you know, my sister's best friend just went through that with her child. Let me give you her number. So in your social convoy, you have these resources. And if you don't have them in your social convoy, you go to look for them. And you might go to a support group. If it's a business problem, you might join a professional organization or go to a convention. And you'll find people that can help you. And it's usually not among your intimates. It's usually among people that you either don't know very well or have yet to meet.
Well, I guess, you know, part of what we've also seen here, Melinda, is that the whole growth of Twitter and Facebook and all of that is, in a way, an effort to develop inconsequential strangers. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean is, like, some of it is fake contact and some of it is real contact.
Right.
And then, I mean, some people, you know, on some of the dating surfaces make an enormous amount of contact through a fantasy character that they create.
Right.
Showing that the desperation and the need is there. And that where we do have an opportunity to do it for real, which is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of talk is made about Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all this social media and how it's they're not, quote, real friends. Well, I think that if you look at someone who has 567 friends on Facebook, of course they're not all friends. They're all consequential strangers, though. And some of them probably are friends, and some of them are probably family. And I think one of the important things about this book is it gives us a way of, you know, you can't talk about something unless it has a name, unless it's identified. And it gives us a way of looking at this vast sea of people in our lives that fit somewhere on the relationship continuum between strangers and friends. And that's a very, very vast territory. It gives us a way of identifying them and valuing them.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Melinda. Melinda Blau, who with Karen Fingerman wrote Consequential Strangers. We will be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. We have to take a little break, and when we come back from the break, a little music, and then we'll take your calls.
What are you listening to?
What you are listening to.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
It's WBAI.
Wow. Sounds weird.
Weird, but I like it.
I like it.
What is it?
It's WBAI.
I like it.
Did you honor your pledge?
To go low carb?
To send money to WBAI.
Well, you mean write a check?
Yeah, I mean write a check.
I wrote it.
Well, now send it.
Oh, send it.
To WBAI.
120 Wall Street,
New York, New York.
10005.
WBAI. I like it.
Yeah!
Here we go. Ready? Go.
Ooh, you win. It's your show. So what's it gonna be?
people go. I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV shows. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we see. They got this and that with a rattle attack test and one, two. Now what you gonna do? Bad news, misused, got too much to lose. Give me some truth, now whose side are we on? Whatever you say, turn on the boob tube. I'm in the mood to obey, so lead me astray. And by the way now, where'd all the good people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV shows. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we sow.
Jack Johnson, Where All the Good People. Good People from his album In Between Dreams. Jack Johnson, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We've been talking about good people. We started off by talking about an act of kindness. You know, what is an act of kindness that you have done today, and what is it all about? An act of kindness is the tool given to us by, I call it the gods, but you know, whatever nature forms us, you know, whatever it is, whether it be nature, survival, whether it be Darwin, whoever made us, you know, I know Darwin didn't make us, but whoever it was that formed us, they gave us this tool, and this tool was to be kind. And now, you know, in nature, you don't see too much of the kindness. You don't see too much of it. There's not much of, I will extend myself beyond myself to do something nice for you. That's not very frequent in nature, but people have to have it. People need this because people can so easily close off in their own private worlds. So what bridge do we have? What do we have to get over the bridge of the isolation of you to the isolation of me? How do I make that distance? The other day, a friend of mine called and said he wanted to meet with me in the afternoon, but that evening, they were going to a party. And I said, oh, you have to invite me to that party. Why? Because I love parties where there are strangers. I love meeting new people. I want to see people who I don't know. I want to see people who I don't know because I want to meet new people all the time. Well, here's the gift we have. The gift we have is we have a world filled with people that we could interact with. And if you're going to interact through an act of kindness, it's really something. Because let's think about the word grace. You know, grace, if you treat somebody with grace. You know, I was thinking about Grace D'Ambra. Grace is this, she's this incredible young woman who happens to be just that. She personifies the name. But what is it about that name that works for her? Well, everything she does is done gently and done with kindness and consideration. Nothing is done in its kind of narcissistic, it's all about me, I don't care what effect it's having on you, which is what many of us do. You know, if you're a bull, if you're somebody who grows up and just struggles out of the difficulties in early childhood, the only thing you care about is keeping alive. And when you're keeping alive, you step on a lot of different people. And you can't be too concerned with what effect you're going to have on them. But later in life, if you make it through, maybe even if you've been that kind of a person, it's time. It's time to give in some way. And I don't mean just give like I'm standing on a soapbox saying give. I mean open it up. You know, be kind. Be graceful. Be gentle. Give a smile. It all makes a difference. It goes around so far. One smile with one person, one kindness with one person who doesn't expect it. Sometimes the look in their face is remarkable. Sometimes when I'm going to the building where I work, there's a long hallway that I have to go down to get to the door. And sometimes I see somebody at the other end of the door actually holds the door for me, which stops them by about 20 seconds. But they knew I was coming, so they held the door. Or I hold the door for people. Just a gentle act. At the moment, you may forget about it. It may mean nothing. But it warms your heart. It makes a difference. 212-209-2900 is our number here at WBAI. I'd like to talk with you about consequential strangers. And I guess I would talk about inconsequential strangers too, but I'm sorry. To me, everybody's consequential. See, even the ones you don't have more contact with. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armando Mill. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Martha. I'm enjoying Ms. Blau and your show today. Something I've been thinking about, this consequential relations with people. The question is, when, how, and should we take the relationship closer? I mean, I have family, friends, children, but I spend a lot of time doing political work, recreational activities. And I spend a lot of time with these people, and it tires me sometimes to have superficial conversations with some of these people. I want to take it a step further. And I question it. Like the other day, it was a dance teacher. I was going to go listen to jazz after the class, and I was talking to her, and I left. And then I said to myself, well, maybe she would have liked to have gone with us and met me and my family and had an evening out. And I didn't do it, and I thought about it for a long time, you know, and that's the question. When, how... should we?
Yeah, there's a big should in there, you know?
Yeah.
And that becomes the question, because it's how much room do you have?
I understand that.
You know, you have any space to take
but
it to another level?
A space and a time, and I didn't take advantage of
sure.
it.
Sure you didn't. And many of us will pass many opportunities to be kind and generous, because it's not our nature. But
well,
when it
is, human nature?
I think it's human nature, but it's not nature. You see, it's not nature to do that. In nature, you nurture your own. You don't nurture the others. And I think we, humans, have been given this gift of being able to spare some of that nurturance. When you get around to it, you get around to it. When you see it, you see it. And when you have the spare energy, when you have that spare amount of love and you have that generosity and it's in your spirit, you'll do it. You know, that's when you'll do it. And when you don't do it, you could always go back and undo it. You could actually talk to that lady and say, you know, I wanted to invite you and I didn't, and I'd like to know if you're interested for the next time. Or you could leave it alone and wait for the next opportunity.
I wait for the next opportunity. They happen so rarely that it just works together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think being older and remembering living in a rural area where people would just stop by the house and visit, now it's people.
That's
don't,
such
don't
an amazing thing.
By.
Such an amazing thing you're talking about. You know, the open house. I know people who live in, not in the country, but they live out in Long Island and they have a house. And in this little community, it's a rural community, people stop by. And they stop by and say hello, they stop by and they bring it. So I've always been brought up, I was brought up in apartments in Manhattan, you know, so therefore nobody ever stops by. They call or they ring a bell or they do something. So, but in these people, to these people in these homes, they're always dressed as if somebody could stop by at any moment. They're always well dressed. You know what I mean? They always have something on. You're not wearing your T-shirt and your shorts,
right?
Because somebody may come to the door. And you're right. We lose a little something when that happens.
And as people stop by, they open up more.
Sure, but we save a lot on the laundry bills.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Martha.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Sure. Bye. 212-209-2900. Well, there's a great case for you. There it is. That's what we do on The Positive Mind whenever we take calls. We have consequential friends. Every contact we have is one of those. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille here with The Consequential Mind on WBAI. Let's take another call. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you're talking about this, because I was on Facebook with some we said consequential friends, and we was talking about, you know, why women, when you say hello to them, they kind of give you like an attitude. And you kind of touched on it. And, you know, and it's kind of amazing. Like, I work in the city, so, I people are kind of like always looking straight forward, so you rarely speak. But there's this one particular female, and, like, we built the relationship off of speaking to each other. Like, I get to this particular stop, and it's like I'm looking for her, not for no conversation. She's an attractive woman, not to even try to persuade her to go out with me, just to say good morning.
She means something to you.
She's looking for me every morning, too, for that meet and greet. And I remember a guy I was going to school with. He came up from down south. He was from Texas. And he was so out of place because he's like, you know, he was like, it was just a culture shock. He's like, you know, people don't say hello. He said, it's even hard for me to get a date. You know, people are just cold up here. And I said, you know, you just, it's just New Jersey to New York area. Like, you know, people just don't really take time to stop.
Well, you know, now wait, this is, what's your name again?
Najee.
You know, that may or may not be true. People have always said that about New York. And they say it about Paris as well. And I find both in New York and Paris, people are the friendliest people possible. And then I realize what was the difference is I'm the friendliest person possible. So what really happens is you get up to New York, you come from somewhere else, you're a little gun shy. New York people move a little faster than everyone else.
Yes.
But I don't think they're any less friendly. I think these are some of the friendliest people in the world.
You might be right.
You know, so what it is you get a little punchy, then you say, oh, it's really them, but it's maybe the interaction, it may be the different tempos, it may be the speeds that you got to adjust to. You know, the way I feel about New York, everybody's got to be here 2 years before they ever get into rhythm. You know?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think of it like that, but you know what? You're actually right, because, if I go out my way to speak, you know, people speak.
Sure.
People go out their way and they hold the door for me. So, you know what? You're absolutely.
You know, Najee, I want to go back to that woman who you see on the train, the woman with the emerald eyes.
Yeah.
You know, she's really wonderful. I wish, you know, maybe she's listening on WBAI, and she knows.
I don't know. You know what? She works at Dean and DeLuca, so she's probably not.
Oh, you know that?
She's not listening right now.
So you know that? You know she works.
Yeah, I see her every morning.
Yeah, well, it's really nice. So one day maybe you'll just take that a little beyond just to a hello, but it's perfectly fine that it stays right where it stays.
Yeah, you know what? It's all right. And you know what, Armand, I'm going to take up your time, but I wouldn't say, like, I'm an attractive guy. Like, I have no problem getting women. But one of my greatest gifts, and I learned to accept it, that I can more or less befriend women without even having sexual relations, meaning that a lot of my male friends, you know, a lot of women come up to me, and they're like, hey, you know, how you doing, Najee? And they're wondering, like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, nah, they're just friends. You got to be kidding me. No, they're just friends. Like, some of my best relationships with women are when I'm in a relationship where it's strictly platonic and sex isn't involved.
Hmm. Well, you know, Najee, see, you talk to an issue that's very important. As primitive beings, most men are born to try to, as much as possible, get all over the place, you know, with as many women as possible. And that's kind of like the nature, the primitive nature that we have. You've been a lucky man, because as a lucky man, you've had choices and you've had frequency. So when that finally happens and you get that kind of frequency, eventually you turn around and you say, okay, I've had enough. Now I can make my choices. Your friends who have not lived through that yet, they're still being run by their primitive kind of dictates, you know? And you should pardon the expression, but it is a dictate. And it's like on some level you want to say to yourself, okay, you know, someday you'll get there. Sometimes you just got to get old enough to eventually see that women are human, you know, and they're friends and they're people and they're worthwhile, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just as good a friend as everyone else. Najee, thanks for calling in.
All right.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Speaking with you, we're going to take another one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good day, Armand.
Good day.
You recognize the voice?
Well, you sounded like my friend Tim when you first called, but now sound very familiar, like someone else I know.
All right. Well, you do know me, and I hope we're still friends. I think we should be. I always speak well of you, and I recommended you for the director of direction at WBAI.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what I mean, trying to...
Oh, now I recognize the voice. How are you, Monroe?
Right. Well, gee whiz, thanks for warming the cockles of my consequentially inconsequentiality. Oh, Armand, you're so beautiful. Gary Noll today said he's been at every rally, and he knows everybody who's at rallies. Now, there are thousands of people at some rallies, and he had the audacity to say he hasn't seen Oberman at this rally with 10,000 people. You know what I mean?
I hear you,
Monroe. I want to work for him. I want to work for you, but listen... I want to work for WBAI, but, you know, it's a problem. Here's the problem. Casey Sheehan was on yesterday.
Wait a minute, Monroe, remember part of the way we always used to part company? When you would bring on something, we got only five. We would part company when we were on a phone call.
Huh?
When we were doing a phone call together, every now and then I would have to remind you, I have a number of people who are lined up who want to talk about the very subject.
I'll be through in a second.
Sure.
So I tried to be consequential, and there was a nice interview with Cindy Sheehan, who's tried to show the humanity of a mother and the loss of her son and, you know, the wrongness of war and so forth to George W. Bush. And the point was that then Esther Armand went on to talk about the health. So I said to myself, I'll call in and I'll unify the field. Because Casey Sheehan wasn't sure she would do an interview because Kennedy had died. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
I don't know. Are you there?
You're there. Okay. So,
wait, Monroe, hold on a second.
No sooner did I say Casey than Esther Armand was already criticizing my call, and that was it. And I'm saying to you, Armand, you better get on the case with a lot of WBAI listeners and members even. They have such and staffers, they have such nasty behaviors because I was trying to unify the idea of the health plan that Obama's working on with the idea that the health of our
Monroe, you know what you said was 1 minute.
Listen, and our military troops and their lives are part of the health plan. And everybody should be covered because epidemics from the people who are too poor to have health plans are going to kill the whole society anyway. Hello?
All right. Thank you, Monroe. Monroe. Nobody like him. But he's been part of the WBAI family for so many years, and of course I have respect for him, but you know what the trouble is? With some people, when you go in with a little too much force, look what happens. It gets to the point where you're pressing so hard that people just walk away. And that's where you never want to be. So I appreciate Monroe. I appreciate you for who you are. I appreciate you as a human being, and I appreciate your efforts in life. But thanks for teaching us. Thanks for showing us that that's how not to do it. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Yes, I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to say in support of this idea about the kindness.
Yes.
I was a teacher and a diversity trainer. And during Martin Luther King's birthday, we had a thematic thing in the schools where we did a kindness and justice challenge, and the challenge was to do as many acts of random kindness in character education, so it really kind of taught kids the value of being kind and practice being kind, and that was a very successful program.
Wow, what an interesting idea. What a beautiful idea.
Secondly, as a diversity trainer, you bring up an interesting issue about taking care of the ones who are the same and those who are others. And that's something I'm dealing with all the time. The other one, the different one, be it for any of a variety of areas of affiliation.
I'm losing your voice. Could you talk up a little?
The nature of us. You bring up the idea, is our nature to be kind or not, to be supportive of others. So you want to say anything about that? It's the essence of all of it.
I thank you very much for calling in. We're just running out of time at this moment. It certainly is a question in my mind, you know. And thank you very much for calling in. What's your name, by the way?
Mark from Rockland.
Mark, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, that's kind of an interesting thing. Imagine Mark as the trainer who is saying to people, you know, how many acts of random kindness can you do today? Hey, what an interesting concept. Imagine today you asked yourself that very question. How many acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, can you do today? This is not me to preach about how wonderful people could be. Look, life is rough. And it's so tough out there that sometimes you don't have the energy to even pick up your head, much alone smile, you know? But wherever you can, every bit, it makes a difference. This is Armand DeMille with you. I'll be back with you on Tuesday, my friends. If you want a copy of today's show, or you want to listen to it again, go to thepositivemind.com. My love to all of you.
We are. share so many secrets. There are some we never tell. Why were you so surprised that you never saw the stranger? Did you ever let your lover see the stranger in yourself? Refused to even answer. It was then I felt the stranger came.